For every bar in the world, there are staff who work tirelessly to keep a saloon brawl from breaking out.
Today, comedian Tim Warner joins us to talk about his experience working in a slew of gay bars, from Chicago to New York to Tampa, and even a stint at Heclina's Oasis in San Francisco.
Listen as Tim Warner explains why Florida is such a colorful state, how the movie Monster really didn't get Eileen Wuornos, and how his Nana was a sex worker in London during World War II.
Plus, Emma Gonzalez's powerful silence marks a turn in the gun debate.
I'm obsessed with Stormy Daniels' dilated pupils.
Farewell to Craigslist personal ads.
And RuPaul and Todrick Hall say, they don't make them beats like they used to. They don't make them beats.
Which is Lady Bunny's status update every other day on Facebook.
That's right, and the DJs don't make the beats like they used to. They don't make them beats.
I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Pillion.
And this is
Feast of Fun. Ooh.
Honey, we got this fantastic margarita.
Ooh, I need some more of that.
Yes. Our guest today is comedian Tim Warner, just like Time Warner without the E.
Without the E, yeah.
This is your real name.
That is my real name, yeah.
Now, you've worked a slew of gay bars from Chicago, San Francisco, Tampa, and New York, and currently Tim hosts Trivia Night at Burke's Public House here in Chicago. Welcome to Feast of Fun.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm starving.
I'll feed you after the show.
Oh, yes. Okay, great. I was wondering. I was just over here like a baby bird.
Feed me. So how do you introduce yourself to audiences? Because I love what you said earlier.
Oh, well, you asked me like, how do you describe yourself? And I just said, I don't know, stupid faggot. Like that's
no, you said something about like you were
that
like
seems pretty apropos,
right? Yeah, I'm from Florida.
You're dumb my favorite stupid maybe. Faggot. No, but you were talking about some like medication. You were introducing yourself to the audience with the medication you take.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Hi, I'm Tim. I'm trying a new cocktail of Zoloft and some other SSRIs, Abilify, this week, and it's balancing out. We're going to see how it goes after I have this drink. But let's be honest, any place that I'm in becomes a gay bar just because I'm self-medicating constantly.
So it's kind of like a threat to the audience.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, any time I'm around, it's a threat to an audience.
You're like, if you don't laugh at my jokes, I'm going to kill you.
Or myself. I'll kill myself and you'll be complicit. Yeah.
And then you'd be sorry.
Well, I think that's what's so funny about comedy is that it's like the one form of art that needs to be validated by someone else in order to be what it is. Right. Because like a painter can paint something and it's like, oh, look, there's a painting. But if a comedian tells a joke or says something funny, it's actually nothing until someone says, oh, that was hilarious.
It has to be complete. Completed.
Yeah, well, it has
so
to be validated.
You guys really need us.
Yeah, I need, please, like me.
No, for me, I tried pursuing stand-up comedy when I was 18 years old. And to me, I was like, this is really problematic having to have the audience laugh. So I got into performance art.
I grew up
problematic, or you weren't getting them to laugh?
Well, I was not successful. You know, when you're 18 years old, I was just from Puerto Rico. I don't know anything. I barely know colloquialisms in English, you know. Everything you guys see and hear, this is all like I'm, you know, it's an act.
Yeah,
to some
you
degree.
Pick it up from the people you're around.
You know, and RuPaul says we're born naked. Everything is drag. I think all of us, to some extent, pick up about mannerisms and phrases and ways of talking from the world around us. And as we go through life, our personalities change and who we are changes.
Right. And I think most people who are self-aware try to discover the things about themselves that make them the most insecure and beat other people to making fun of them in the group setting. I think a lot of comedians use that as their bread and butter, because if you can make someone else laugh about something that you know to be true about yourself, then you can work through your own pain. That's why so many comedians, hello, Robin Williams from the grave, end up taking their own lives, because it's just, hi, I'm really depressed. Please make me not depressed tonight. Also, can you pay me? Like, it's just all of that, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's just.
Well, that's why I like to find things that are not intentionally supposed to be funny and find the humor in them. And I think, like, that's a gay sensibility. We look at, like, bad movies and we turn them into camp classics. I think, like, Mommy Dearest. Mommy Dearest is a horror film.
Yeah.
Showgirls is a horror film. Right. There's violence. There's tons of violence. It's depressing. It's not a happy story.
It's kind of a happy story.
But it's hilarious.
But straight people don't really get into it like the way gay people get into it. That's what you mean, right?
No, we look at a tragedy sometimes. I think about John Waters pretending that he was in a car accident when he was a kid, and he would beg his parents to take him to junkyards, and he thought it was really funny to get inside a wrecked car and pretend he was in the car accident.
That's so fucked up.
You know?
I get it.
And he John. Worked that into one of his films, I think. I think it was Female Trouble.
Also, yeah. you can only do that if you're from Baltimore, find like a wrecked car to crawl into, right? Like,
you know, junkyards used to be a big thing, though. Back in the day, it was like if you wanted to get and probably they still are in some places, like if you wanted to get something for your car, get something replaced, you'd go out to the junkyard. And you could walk around the junkyard and find your vehicle and take it out sometimes.
Can we bring back junkyard play? Like, just junkyarding? Like, what are you guys doing this weekend? Going to a tire fire?
I think since Crash won the Oscars in, what was it, 2006, that people are just not into it anymore because it was such, you know...
Crash, the story of six people discovering their racism and beating Brokeback Mountain for Best Picture. R.I.P. Heath.
Crash was a very cynical film. Yeah. Should not have won the Best Picture Oscar.
It was a different time.
Yeah. But so you call yourself a tampon because you're from Tampa, Florida.
I'm also highly absorbent. Yes.
What's it like growing up in Tampa? Because it seems to be a little trashy kind of place, right?
Yeah, I mean, all of Florida. Let's list them. Okay, yeah. Eileen Wuornos, first of all, R.I.P. my queen.
Well, she was
I'm
from
so
Michigan
sorry.
Originally.
Yes,
I
but
think.
She so Eileen Wuornos,
homicidal lesbian from the film Monster.
You know what? Okay, before
and
we go into
real
Tampa,
life person,
she's a great person. I'm
this
sorry.
This is not a character played by Charlize Theron. She was actually
she's a real person, and also the movie Monster is a gross misrepresentation of Eileen Wuornos's life.
Think?
Absolutely, because
why?
It was the story was written and sold by her ex-lover, played by Christina Ricci. Like, honestly, Christina Ricci had no business being in that movie.
I was obsessed with her forehead, though.
Oh, yeah.
It's a big forehead. You could land a plane on that thing. Eileen Wuornos was such a victim, and she never... Like, she was floridly psychotic. Like, from the time she was 19, like, she grew up in the woods. There's an amazing documentary that came out in 1994 called The Selling of a Serial Killer.
Yeah.
It's on Netflix. Mm-hmm. It's on Amazon Prime. It was re-released.
Her life was very, very sad.
Yeah, her life was so fucked up. And then the movie's like, let's find a really hot blonde South African actress to play Eileen, and let's make her a man hater. Like, let's just make her a man hating dyke.
Oh, because in real life, Eileen Wuornos wasn't that way?
No, she was a victim of sexual assault by her grandfather, who raised her as her dad, and she grew up, like, she ran away from home when she was 14 and lived in the woods in her neighborhood until she turned 16. And
she built a little fort.
Yeah, and she would, you know, do stuff for money, which, you know what, entrepreneur. I'm just going to go ahead and say it. She was ahead of the curve. She was doing sex work before sex work was called sex work. And then she hitched a ride to Florida, married a guy who owned like a small hotel or motel chain or something, and then started turning tricks after that went south. I think he died.
Your grandmother was a sex worker in London.
She was. She was a good time girl. Yeah, that's how she met my soldier grandfather. And, you know, she was pregnant at the time with my Aunt Karen, who, incidentally, was just released on parole. Hey, Aunt Karen. It's good to hear from you again.
Hi, Karen.
Are you for real?
I'm dead serious.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow. What'd she go to jail for?
Well, it's kind of a long story.
Stealing people's hearts?
No. So she was bringing some drugs back from Mexico, and she ended up hitting someone on the way up from Texas, or up into Texas, rather, and refused to pay them any of the medical bills. So they threw her in jail because she couldn't pay the medical bills for the person who she hurt. Which is just, I don't know, that's a great way to...
You are from Florida.
Not very dramatic.
I'm so from Florida, yeah. Not very dramatic, but she was a rabble rouser.
Okay.
She got in trouble for selling her artwork in prison, which I was like, good for you. Good for you, Aunt Karen.
Oh, you're not allowed to sell artwork?
You're not allowed to like run your own businesses, apparently, in prison.
You
like,
can't sell things for money to anybody.
But can you...
Outside of prison?
Yeah, I guess. No, like inside of prison. I think like
that was
just
a major plot point of season 3 of Orange is the New Black, when they started making panties.
Oh, that's right. Sell, yeah. Dirty panties.
The dirty panties was the plot point.
Here's a question I have. Do women produce smegma, or is that solely a dick thing? Like, just because, what is
it's
that called?
It's not smegma, but they sometimes can have some kind of discharge.
Is it swegma? They call it swegma?
Puss juice.
Pussy juice.
I'm just curious. I've always wondered because, you know, sometimes you'd be like, what does that smell? Like, what do we even call that? You know what I mean? Like, I'm sorry.
I don't want to know, Tim. I don't want to know.
I do want to know, but not intellectually.
I'll tell you.
Yeah. No, God, I'm sorry.
So in high school, your first job was working as a waiter at Olive Garden.
I did. Well, no, I mean, I waited. So my first job was actually Chick-fil-A, as ironic as that sounds. Yeah, Christian Chicken, as my friends call it.
Dan Kathy massages.
That's true, Kathy, a massage every Sunday. We would show up in his penthouse in downtown Tampa. No, they're based out of, I want to say Georgia. They're from Georgia. It's an Atlanta-based company.
Yeah, So you work at Chick-fil-A.
I worked at Chick-fil-A, and that was my first gig.
Yeah.
Have some more I got margarita. Fired for that.
Why'd you get fired for that?
You know what? It was terrible. I got fired because I went on a mission trip with my church, and I was like, hey, I have to go out of town to go to Belize to teach these sad Central Americans about Christ. And they were like, well, you have to work. And I said,
what church did you grow up in?
First Baptist Church of Brandon.
And they tried to cure you of your homosexuality.
No, that was something that my parents decided to do. And I know that we're sort of rehashing old territory here, because I know you guys have had conversion therapy survivors on your show. It never gets old, but it's also, I mean,
it's a very sad.
I have to say though, like my therapist did some good of, like he must have not been terrible because I'm not trans. I'm just a gay. I'm still just a gay. Like he didn't push me to one side at least. Like I really stood my ground.
But he didn't sexually molest you or harass you or rape you.
As try as I might, no. But it was the first time I heard a septuagenarian use the word boner, and I was like, did this grandfather therapist just ask me if I got a boner watching, I think it was Nip Tuck at the time?
What?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
I had a thing
you were turned
Uncharmed.
On by plastic surgery.
No, what is his name? Julian something?
Something or other. Yeah, Cole from Charmed.
Yeah, Cole from Charmed.
But you also were a heavyset teenager.
Well, I think, without getting into the therapeutic aspect of it, I truly believe that I made myself physically undesirable by eating until I was grossed out by my appearance so that I would never have to mitigate my feelings of being attracted to men or being attractive to men.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So as soon as I moved out of my parents' house,
how much did you weigh at the highest?
300 pounds. I think it's 300 pounds. I'm 6'3" though. So
it's not too bad.
No, it was pretty bad. Like one of my dance partner in show choir, her parents used to refer to me as Ross, the intern. They were like, oh, is your dance partner Ross, the intern, going to be at your party? And I was like, I really resent that. My voice is at least three octaves lower than his, right? Isn't it? I don't know. I can't tell.
But it's hard to tell.
He lost a lot of weight on Celebrity Fit Club and then... And then that went back? I don't know. I guess it's just money.
You know,
now
Ross
he just won
Matthews.
Celebrity Big Brother, right?
Did he win?
He won.
He won, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Sneaky gay Jews. he's not Jewish, is he?
I don't know. I have no idea.
I think so.
I mean, I would guess now, though. Let's look it up. We know Billy Eichner is. And if you're listening, Billy Eichner, fuck you for being well-adjusted. I used to be a huge fan, and then I heard him do an interview about his family. He's like, my parents are really supportive. They just really, when I came out to them, they were like, cool, it doesn't matter to us. And I was like, okay, your shtick is no longer funny to me now.
Oh, because you thought he was a tortured.
You don't have to suffer for your gayness, but if you're going to go on and talk about how you're this morose faggot, like you should at least have some years of Bible beating under your belt.
Mm. They beat the Torah, I think.
Yeah. There is no gay.
So what was the first like gay bar you worked at the door?
Oasis, yeah.
It was
the first,
San Francisco,
yeah, in San Francisco.
For Hecalina. Hecalina was your boss.
I mean, she was my mom, the boss wizard, the grand wizard. But, she wasn't a grand wizard, just FYI.
What's it like working for Hecalina?
Yeah. Did she eat your ass every time you like walked in the door?
No, I like, honestly never interacted with her. It was very Cruella de Vil. How did I get lucky? So I met this guy once at like a sex party and he was like, hey, what are you doing this weekend? And I said, I don't know. What are you doing this weekend? And he said, do you want to work the door at this club? And I said, oh, okay, sure. So that's how I got the job.
You didn't write a resume or like,
no, I didn't even have to interview. They said, show up at 9 and you know, I'm very punctual.
So you just checked IDs?
Yeah. I just checked IDs, took money, stamped people's wrists.
Some of the money for yourself?
I can confirm. I can neither confirm nor deny whether or not I pilfered from the gays.
Well, you also got to meet a lot of famous drag queens. Going
I did.
There.
Yeah, yeah.
And you were all like, and so you and I have that similar experience of sometimes it's best to have a
You don't want to
distance
like,
from your heroes,
right? Right? Yeah. Right? Because if you idolize someone and then you realize they're just a regular person, then you know who do you look up to?
Yeah.
Your parents? I don't
you
think
have to
so.
Look up to Jesus.
He's pretty cool.
Yeah, Jesus is a friend of mine.
I know. The older I get, the better I am at reconciling my religious upbringing. Like, my parents were just hippies that needed direction. Like, my parents didn't grow up in a religious home. They glommed onto that as they became older because they didn't have access to things like therapy or psychotropic drugs.
Or culture.
Or, you know, they had culture. I mean, my parents were big into the Stones and Dolly and
like, my
Reba.
Parents got, you know, started getting a divorce. My mother turned to an Episcopalian church.
I thought you were going
to
say piss play, and I was like, me too.
That would make it real interesting, wouldn't it?
And Mark, you were, when you sort of, like, your parents were sensing that you were gay, they sent you
to Catholic school. That's
like,
kind of new.
You know, I met my first boyfriend in conversion therapy, which is the irony
oh, really?
Of it. Yeah, and it was...
You guys both were in conversion therapy together?
Doesn't that seem like a bad idea
how
to, like,
many,
let
many,
them
how
interact?
How many of you guys were there?
I mean, I only knew them from the waiting room, because we wouldn't go into the group. There was no group session.
Oh, really? Was it super cruisy in the waiting room?
I mean, I still am not sure how to cruise or, like, what that looks like. I usually just make eye contact and think, like, oh, no, I hope they don't kill me, or I hope they do kill me. But I'm still figuring that out. But there was a lot of, like, oh, is he just here because he's into, like, skull fucking? Like, I don't know. Like, it was called Overcomers Anonymous. It wasn't, like, Exodus International. So, they could have been there for anything.
Okay. But you feel like he told you he was there for gay conversion therapy?
Well, we became friends on AIM, so he instant messaged me after church once, and then we went to a lock-in together, which also, terrible idea if you're listening, youth pastors, like, kids are going to do stuff during those things.
What is a lock-in?
Oh, okay, so if you're not familiar, a lock-in is when a youth group at a church says, hey, parents, send your kids to us on Friday night. We're going to have a lock-in. And they literally lock them in the church. And it's like a big slumber party, like a co-ed slumber party. Whose idea was this? I don't know. But they lock the kids in, and then they leave in the morning. And it's like they watch movies, they eat pizza, they play games.
It's
pass
a great,
out.
You know, sort of bonding experience.
It's a great place to, like, go and get fingered, you know what I mean? Like, in the bathroom for 10 minutes or so. Like,
so is that what you did?
No, we were just like, I have a lot of feelings. Do you have any feelings too? And it's like, yeah, sometimes I like
so
guys.
Were you like cuddling and like together at night? Or
no, it was like sleeping in sleeping bags next to each other and talking about our therapy experiences. And also listening to like his hag talk about hers. Like, you know, she was a real blocker.
I think for like gay teenage boys though, at least speaking for myself, it's like emotional intimacy.
Wait, you're a gay teenage boy? I'm not allowed to be here.
When I was a gay teenage boy.
Oh, okay.
It's like getting close to other boys was like in a way almost akin to sex, you know, like,
yeah,
you wanted that that intimacy because you wanted that romance because you were just starving and lonely.
It was emotional.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was that I think
isolation.
That's why I sort of idealized living in San Francisco for the first time, because mm-hmm. you were no longer a minority. You were just a person like everyone else. And there was no community in your mind. It was just, you're just a person and you're in the majority. Like, the straights are the minority.
So, I you know, actually, I've never been to Oasis, because that Oasis was kind of started as a answer to Tranny Shack ending.
Yeah.
And so Oasis is just pretty much a gay bar with that specializes in drag, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah. They do like a drag show every week. And then there's a group of guys that host a party once a week, too. And that's actually how I got involved in working the door there, because they needed someone to work the door at their themed parties. So the first theme party was, I think it was jock night, like college jocks, not like the underwear jocks.
Mm-hmm. So they did other nights as well.
Yeah. Yeah. There was like a Christmas party. I mean, it was just a real free for all.
Did you have to check a lot of people's IDs?
I don't think I checked a single ID, or at least I didn't look at them. They would always have them out and I just said, oh, okay, give me your money. You got 20 bucks.
You look 21.
You got cash. You're cute.
I had a similar experience. I was working at the door at a bar here in Chicago called Big Chicks. And
Big Chicks.
And my job was just to check IDs, you know, and half of the people are like, oh, the owner knows me. I'm a regular. I don't need to show an ID. And I'm just like, show me your ID. Like, you know,
how hard is it?
it was so hard, and people would be such dicks about it. And then I would get into trouble, and the owner would come out. Oh, you don't need to check this person's ID. I'm like, how would I know?
Well, it is a bullshit job. Like, that's why I didn't take it seriously at all.
The one guy who gave me trouble was a police officer for checking his ID.
Wait a minute. So are you telling me that police officers aren't nice people inherently? What? No, I'm just kidding. But the blue lies matter, you guys.
Yeah, yeah.
No, it's problematic. So. No, but I agree. Yeah. Like, it's obnoxious, but at the same time, with the working the door, yeah, it's just one of those things where you're really just covering your ass by saying, we had someone working the door. They must have slipped through the cracks. I mean, the idea that we have to carry around an identification that shows us, like, shows someone our age, like, that's kind of, it's a little icy, you know?
It's a little,
Well, they don't want people that are under the age, you know, and some people, like, you know, they look like they're 30 years old and they're really 19.
Where are those people?
They're all around, and you probably let them into your bar, and...
Probably. Yeah. I mean, if you got money to spend, come on in.
Although, you know, I was in the bars when I was 17 without ID. Because I would just go in with my older sisters, and they would just be like, this is my little brother, Mark. And they're like, hey, come on in.
Well, that's why I got into drag. Because when you're a drag queen, you can get into the bar, at least in my day, without showing ID.
Well, and even now, like, look at Aquaria, who's on RuPaul's Drag Race season 10. She's just 21. She's been working the scene in New York for years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, that's really good for her.
Hey, listen, she's going to be making 6 figures this year.
Mo money, mo problems, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, that's great. Like, I honestly, I have no horse in this race. But I do think that it's a little silly to check people's IDs going into bars. Because when I was 19, working at Chick-fil-A in Tallahassee, Florida, I straight up went up to a customer and said, hey, I have $50 cash on me. Would you be willing to sell me your ID if you're over 21? And he said yes. So I had a fake ID. I mean, that's not hard to get. They're not hard to get.
No, not at all.
They're not hard to manufacture.
Well, usually used to, like, a lot of people recently used to buy their fake IDs on Craigslist.
Oh, God. R.I.P. personals.
And then the personals section this week just got shut down.
Yeah.
Well, they shut it down themselves because I guess Congress had passed some kind of law, like H.R. 1865, the FOSTA law.
Stop sex acts. Yay! What is it? Stop human trafficking?
After me.
No.
Stop Fausto.
Well, Fausto.
FOSTA.
Cut it out, Fausto.
It says seeking to subject websites to criminal and civil liabilities when third-party users misuse online personals unlawfully. So if, like, I said, hey, why don't you come over and we'll have sex, and then I murder you, Craigslist would be held responsible.
No. It's more for, like, oh, hey, come sleep with this girl. All you got to pay is like $20. Mm-hmm. And then she turns out to be a human trafficking victim. That's why it's like, you could sue, like, she could sue Craigslist for facilitating the transaction of whore, of her.
Oh, that's what
I almost said, of whore. Of whoring. No, but
sex work.
Of sex work. But that's where it becomes a gray area, right? Because it's great for people who are human trafficking victims. Like, yeah, we shouldn't have platforms for them to be auctioned off. But for some people, that's their livelihood and that's how they make a living. And then also there's the obvious First Amendment implications that's, like, kind of censuring us.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it's their website. They could do whatever they want to. My only concern is that, like, Craigslist personals, especially, is, you know, a lot of sex trafficking, human trafficking does occur on those pages. And by them shutting it down, it makes it harder for the police to catch these people and to save people who are in, you know, custody or in jeopardy. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know if it's such a good thing. Like, from reading a lot of reactions online, everyone's really alarmed and distressed about it.
Well, because does it continue to victimize people, or does it make the victims?
Well, it drives it underground.
Yeah. It's
the idea, you know, the reason that people argue for the legalization of sex work is because by making it illegal, we're driving it underground.
And less regulated less, like. Mm-hmm.
But would people enjoy sex more if it was legal, or because the fact that it's illegal makes it sexier?
Well, you and I mean, we've been our relationship, Mark, has been illegal for most of our relationship.
Yeah. It was kind of hotter back then, I have to say.
Gay sex was hotter when it was illegal.
It's just not as thrilling.
It's kind of how I feel about the new Queer Eye. I'm just No, it's just a little.
It's different. I just can't even, you know. When the first queer eye came out, Fausto cried.
I was very moved by the initial. I started crying because I was like, Carson Kressley's so terrible.
No, you said it was because because you were like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm seeing queer people on TV and like they're being portrayed as being helpful and nice people.
Wait a minute.
I really liked the original Queer Eye, and I just, you know, part of it is like Mark and I do Cooking with Drag Queens, and we've had a couple of TV producers basically probing us for information that probably may or may not have been developing Queer Eye for Netflix. Wow. And I'm, you know, and I'm just kind of, I feel used a little bit that they
well, isn't that part of the gay experience?
Getting probed, yeah.
Probed, used, loneliness, yeah.
And so I'm just kind of like, I'll admit, it's like, I'm jealous and I'm really mad that they put a cooking person, a food person, who literally does not know how to cook at all.
But it's the whole thing about crazy. The Queer Eye reboot is straight up retarded anyways, because the first time it was like, oh, look, it's exposure. And also, anyone who takes issue with me saying retarded, that's retarded. I'm sorry. It's just one of my things. It's not an insult.
It's really something. It's
think about it.
Think about that some more, Tim.
I'm not. Look.
Revisit it.
No. Look. It's not a. It's just a word. Like anyone who censors words, like that's the real problem.
Word, but when you think about those words and who hears those words and who gets affected by those words,
it's about creating an atmosphere and welcoming people. You know.
I don't want to welcome people.
You want to push people away.
I just want to push people away. No, especially.
Well, that's one way to do it.
No.
That's one way to do it.
Yeah. I just. My God. All right. Differently abled.
Think about it.
No, the reason. Here's why I have a problem with it. I have a friend who would get so mad at me for saying that's retarded. And she would say, Tim, it really hurts my feelings that you say that. And she was really sweet. Amber, if you're listening, I'm sorry. But I'm not sorry, because your sister wasn't retarded. She has Down syndrome, which is
Mark's
that's different.
Has Down syndrome.
Yeah, and that is not retardation. And that's like, I would never refer to a human being as retarded, but like, I'm a musician. I'm a classically trained singer. Like, retardando means to slow down. Like, retarded, like, in that context, like, I don't know.
You're not going to win this one.
That's the thing. It's not a winning thing for me. It's just, I'm just using a word, and I'm not trying to make it a wedge issue, although I guess I kind of did by bringing it up again.
You are from Florida.
I am from Florida.
Florida is so problematic?
I'm going to say bath salts. It's the bath salts. There's a lot of sun, and, you know, you got to soak in order to stay hydrated, and inevitably that leads to bath salts.
Is it the fear of getting eaten by gators? Is that what drives people crazy, too?
No, you just run in the zigzag.
It's
one baby, one time.
Let's call it out here. You seem like you have the demeanor right now of somebody who's running away from an alligator.
Well, I did go to Florida State, so
there's no harm anymore. You're in a safe place.
Okay.
You can breathe now.
Just take a deep breath. Have you tried meditation?
Yeah, I have, actually. I love yoga. I love to meditate.
Do you know there's a study that came out that they said that teaching people how to meditate makes them more empathic, caring more about people, and less violent. And the Dalai Lama's been saying this for all years, but Dalai Lama's, you know, friends with Richard Gere.
He's high on love.
You know, but so I don't take too much from celebrity figures' advice, but he says that if we could teach every child how to meditate, truly meditate, which is, you know, clearing your mind of thought for a brief moment in time in order to slow your blood pressure, to slow down your heart, then the world would be a much better place. We could get rid of violence in one generation.
And I think, well, not if I'm alive, because I'm here to kill.
You're a mean motherfucker.
Slaughter. No, I've never heard any.
You're like a reality
people.
Show contestant. You're like, I'm a badass. And then when you're like, please don't hurt me.
I have been hit a few times. I've never done the hitting. But, you know, I will say.
You, Tim.
Okay, here's a funny story. I was biking down Lakeshore Drive, which is just this long bike trail in Chicago along the lake.
Along the lakefront path.
Yeah. Okay. And
not like on the actual Lakeshore Drive.
No. You're right. Not on the road, because that
highway,
would punch me. Yeah. And on the trail, a runner with her headphones in ran into my lane. And so I'm screaming like, on your right, please stop. And she doesn't. So I swipe her and she's fine. She just keeps running and puts her headphone back in. But she indirectly forces me into oncoming bike traffic, because I hit her and then it swerved me into the left side of the bike lane. And in that process, it made this guy coming towards me screech to a halt, and we almost hit each other. But I was already on the ground at that point because she knocked me off my bike. And I had my headphones in. I took them out. And this guy's just screaming at me like, you fucking idiot. What's your problem? What are you? You just hit that girl. You got to be more careful. And I'm just kind of gathering my thoughts. Like, I just got in an accident a little bit. I'm on the ground. I'm covered in dirt. I'm going to be late to yoga. I was on my way to FFC in Boys Town for a yoga class at 6. And he said, you fucking idiot, what's your problem? And so I took my headphones out and I said, will you please stop yelling, sir, please? And he's still yelling. So I said, please, please stop. And so I finally just said, shut the fuck up, dude. And he said, shut the fuck up. Bam. And he hit me right in the head, like punched me in the head, knocked me on the ground again. And at this point, there are like bystanders who are like, oh, my God, like you should call the police. And he's like, you're lucky. That's all you got. And then he started biking north again. And I'm like, did this just happen? Like, did I just get punched in the head for getting in an accident on my bike?
That's a terrible
thing.
You
know, people die on the lakefront path every year in bike accidents.
Yeah, I mean, it's a precarious bike lane. But they were like, you got to call the police. You got to report him. And I'm like, I'm not going to call the police. Like, he's gone. And so I did. I ended up calling the police because I always give in to peer pressure. And they're like, just stay where you are. We're going to send someone to take a report. And I'm thinking, this is...
He's going to be gone.
Damn it. This is stupid. It's one of those things that as soon as you say I can't do it,
get out of it.
No, I don't. I'm not in it. Like, I don't do it.
You're
I never stuck say it.
Breathe, baby.
I'm not stuck in it.
You gotta meditate. Stuck. See, if you actually did meditate, you wouldn't want to use those words.
Okay, but okay.
Have you used like the meditation apps where you just it basically just tells you to shut the fuck up for 1 minute, and then you just kind of like, and when it's done, it measures your heart rate, and you're like,
you
good.
Said apps, not naps, right?
Apps, yeah, yeah, no, yeah. No, they're computer programs.
Are you actually suggesting I use an app to meditate?
I use it. I actually
the breathe one.
All right,
it works.
Right, okay, all right. Right, totally I'm a closeted works. Luddite, so I'm going to have to pass on that one. But
you're like,
finishing the story.
Fuck you, Namoregi Kyo. I'm going to relax my way.
Thich Nhat Hanh. No. What is his name? The
Dalai Lama?
No, the other one who wrote, who's like the writer. Thich Nhat Hanh.
What?
The Tao of Poo?
Yeah, the Tao of something. In any case.
Yeah, yeah.
I call the police, and they're like, stay where you are. And I'm like, no, I'm not going to stay here. I'm going to call you right back. So I get on my bike, and I start going north again. And I'm like, I'm going to follow this guy home. I'm going to find him again, and then I'm going to call the cops. So I do. I stay like 100 feet behind him, and I bike all the way back up to my neighborhood. This guy is my neighbor. He goes inside and puts his bike away, and then I call the cops. And I'm like, hey, I was just on the Lakeshore Drive trail, and I got punched in the head by this guy. Can you send someone to this location? And they did, and I was really shocked because, as I'm sure everyone knows,
did
the Chicago police...
Bike?
No, he brought his bike inside and everything. And then he came out, as I'm on the phone with the cops, to walk his dog. And I'm like, this is perfect. He's going to be walking his dog when the cops show up. They're going to think I'm lying. So they get there and they're like, hey, what's happening? And I explained to them, I showed them, you know, my bike and my head. I had like a little red spot. It's very, very wounded. And they said, is that the guy over there with his dog? And they stopped and they asked him, he's like, I've never seen that guy before. I don't even know. No. And if I did, he probably deserved it. And they were like, okay, you're being awfully combative for someone who had nothing to do with whatever it is we're describing. And they ended up arresting him right there.
Right. Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was a real win for white people in Chicago. And
was he a white person?
He was also a white person.
Okay.
No, I mean, for me.
That's white on white crimes.
It was white on white crimes. Got to stop. But the other thing was his partner came out of his apartment starting to yell and was like, that kid hit him first. And I was like, I am an adult. I'm not a child. And also... I didn't touch this guy. Like,
and how did you even know
right,
that?
Right, and especially if he was just claiming that he wasn't even involved and had never seen me before in his life. So at that point, they put him in the back of his car, and they're like, here's your dog. You can come pick him up in, like, a few hours from the station. And I felt so vindicated. Like, wow, police work.
You got justice.
I got some justice. But
so did the charges press? Anything?
Yeah, I had to go to court, and I had to testify that he punched me in the head. And he was sentenced to, I think, 30 weeks of anger management.
Well, all right.
Yeah.
What's his name? I'm going to look for him on Facebook.
I will tell you that after the fact. I have
you
pictures
worked
of
in,
it.
One of my favorite restaurants in San Francisco, Orphan Andy's, where you can sit in the window.
Yeah, just like the characters in Looking. All those gay actors, like Jonathan Groff, and
only
that's all.
Instead of having that horrible Instagram lime green filter, it actually is bright and warm and sunny.
It's a really interesting place. It is very sad after 2 a.m. I'm just going to...
Why?
Because San Francisco...
I've eaten there at 2 a.m.
No. I'm not sad in the... Well, you know, maybe sad in every capacity. I need to look at life differently. No, but it's sad because...
Try meditating.
All right. You know what? Meditating is just being mindful, right? Isn't meditation just being mindful?
It's taking the time, the repose, to calm yourself.
Yeah, but that's just being mindful.
Clear your mind. No, it's about clearing your mind, and then you become mindful.
Right, but... But it's about being mindful.
Right.
Right? Like,
okay.
I don't know. Like, I think you can bypass all of the, like, clearing your mind
There's
part
no
and just go straight.
Shortcut.
There is. It's just noticing things that you didn't notice before. Like, that's all. When I've yogaed before, the times I've felt most connected to myself are the times that I'm like, wow, I'm just hanging out here in my body, noticing the space. And well, what the hell is that smell? What is that over there? What's that? And you silence those thoughts, but really, like, being mindful is just noticing things you wouldn't notice unless you were actively trying to notice them, you know? So,
where were we going with this?
Oh, I don't know.
You were going to tell us something else.
I'm sorry. We're talking about San Francisco and Orphanandies being depressing after 2 a.m. Yeah. The reason why I say that is because it's such an affluent city, but I feel like they don't give a shit about the homelessness the fact that,
there's human species everywhere.
There's so much poop in San Francisco.
What's up with that?
I don't know. Like, I've never seen anyone pooping.
Last time we ate there was with Jeremiah Kowick, the star of the Apple Switch ad from
who's now living in Sweden.
From 2002, yeah.
Working for, like, SoundCloud or something?
Yeah, so... and he was like, I love daddies. I'll have a daddy sandwich.
Oh, wow. He must have loved being served by Michael.
He's a really nice guy. Yes. Yeah, we had just done a podcast with Peaches Christ and Sharon Needles at not the Stud, but another bar.
Yeah, and someplace on Market.
And then afterwards, we went to eat with Jeremiah Kowick. And that was like, to me, it was like, that's what I love about San Francisco is that it has a city with great history. It's a beautiful place, but nobody can afford to live there. And it's heartbreaking.
Well, rich people can.
Yeah.
Well, it's apparently a lot of people are moving now. So that's like, everyone's moving out of San Francisco because it's too expensive. And that should drive prices down again. I don't know.
But there's more rich people coming, you know, and more. And it's also becoming, because it's Silicon Valley, it's become an international city. And when you become an international city, the prices go skyrocket. So you just have this, the solution is to just make more money.
Make more money. Yeah. Turn more tricks.
Yeah.
Eat less.
Yeah.
Or just have friends who actually own property there that doesn't go up in that, I guess.
Or get into a rent-controlled building.
I actually have some friends who live in a rent-controlled building on Castro Street, like just a few blocks up from Orphanandies, 18th and Castro.
Where did you live when you were in San Francisco?
When I lived in San Francisco, I lived, they call it the Divisadero. Like, I lived on Divisadero, I guess right next to Buena Vista Park, which is lots of good things to do there after midnight.
Oh, really? Lots of good dick sucking?
I mean, you know, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. there's just something about feeling so good and at the top of the city, because it's like the highest point in the city. Like, and you can just see all of downtown. And like, if you're in the park after midnight, you're just like, what am I doing here? Wow, what a beautiful skyline. I don't know. I just had a lot of fun, a lot of debaucherous times. Mm. But that city, there's a law called the Ellis Act that makes it illegal for landlords to kick you out to raise the rent. But it happens all the time there. Like, my friend Irma, she's a musician who lives out in San Francisco. Shout out to Space Banquet. But she lived in this building that straight up burned down, and she had nowhere to live. And then once it was finished being rehabbed, they jacked the rent up 4 times the price. And she lived in the Outer Mission, like way, way out past Guerrera. Or I'm sorry, past Chavez.
So did she get a shot at that apartment, or because it had burned down?
No, she could never live there again. Mm-hmm. Like, it was way too much. So she ended up luckily getting recommended for another room somewhere in the Sunset. But I mean, that's happening to my friends on Castro Street now. Like, they pay $1,100 a month, which is, I think that's kind of insane. But good for them, right? Like, that's very, very cheap.
$1,100 a month?
A month. And they live in a Victorian walk-up. Like, it's
gorgeous.
This is
one person's portion of the rent, or this is the whole?
That's one person's portion, which is still very cheap.
That's a lot of money. In Chicago, it's like, you know, Chicago used to be so much cheaper when I moved here. And now it's like, if you are, you know, your half of the rent is, I mean, I think the least you're going to get is like maybe $600.
The rent is too damn high.
I mean, the room I rented in San Francisco was $1,500 a month. for just the room. And it was, I shared it, a bathroom, like, with this guy.
How many blowjobs do you have to give to afford that?
Oh, God. I mean, recreationally?
For dollars.
Oh, God. At least 12.
Yeah. See?
Maybe 3 on a Tuesday, depending on the tourists.
So Stormy Daniels was on 60 Minutes Talk, mm-hmm. and, you know, it's everything I wanted it to be, which Anderson Cooper asked if Donald Trump stuck his dick inside her.
Did he?
Without a condom.
He said without a condom.
Yeah. And I just, the thought, I'm sure every person watching 60 Minutes was silently screaming, just like Emma Gonzalez, at the thought of Donald Trump's penis going inside their body. Now you know how Melania Trump is going through.
I don't want it. Well, she said she only had sex with him, what, like that one time, and then he kept like promising her, like, maybe she'll get on The Apprentice, or she'll dangling these TV deals in front of her, trying to get more pussy, but she wasn't going to give it up unless there was, like,
some cash money.
I want to know what Omarosa did to get on Trump's good side.
I don't know. I feel like Trump might be a racist, though, so I'm pretty sure it wasn't sex related. Maybe she...
Just because you're racist doesn't mean you don't have sex with black people.
Yeah. That can still happen.
Hold on. Yeah. I need to think about this for a second.
It happens all the time.
Because I feel like after Obama left the office of president, I've been more sexually attracted to black guys. Like, and I don't know if that's, like, because for all of those 8 years, I was like, no, he's our president. Like, no, it's too close to the Oval Office. But now that he's gone, I'm like, hey, what's up?
But you're a people person, and you like to drink, so, you know, it's like you're an equal opportunity.
The first time, the first guy I went home with was of African American descent,
and in life,
in real life, yeah, in my waking life, yeah.
And but I mean, I guess I'm trying to think back to the 60 Minutes Stormy Daniels interview, which we all watched collectively. We were all kind of obsessed with the fact that her pupils were really dilated.
Yeah, she, I mean, but wouldn't you have to be constantly fucked up in order to live after having sex with Trump?
It would definitely be a disturbing experience because he's such a malicious person.
But maybe he's a really gentle lover, you know?
Do you think she had to pee on him?
But her pupils are so dilated.
She had to.
If you didn't notice this, listener, go watch that again. There's, I'm sure, clips all over the internet today. And her, they're just big as dinner plates. Like, and you know, she's on, it was, you said it was some sort of antidepressant medication that causes that, or?
Oh, no, just depressed. Just, I think
there's
both,
a lot of stuff.
Yeah, there's
right?
I mean, we could look it up. I'm pretty sure that uppers and downers, they both.
Everything.
I'm looking at both of your pupils right now, and we're in a well lit room, and they're minute. They're just teensy. And she's under, like, studio lights. So That's a feat, like, for them to remain that dilated.
And that hurts.
She must be very blind or
something's going on.
The other thing is, like, she works in a nightclub, so, like, she's used to low lighting. You'd think she would be, like, her eyes would be skilled at that.
Well, I guess they think that maybe the way they're going to get Trump is because the lawyer gave her $130, like
$130,000
just before the election. So they're viewing it as a campaign contribution that was unreported.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Campaign contribution. The other thing I want to say is I in no way mean to impugn her credibility as a witness or as a sex worker by saying that she's not, you know, that she's on this or that or whatever. Like, again, I would be taking anything and everything if I had to sleep with him or had slept with him.
I hope there's a poetic sense of justice that it's a woman and a sex worker that brings down Donald Trump event. And that, you know, I just don't feel like, you know, that no matter what happens with Mueller's investigation, we're going to see anything come of it. I'm very distressed by that. And maybe Stormy Daniels will be the straw that broke the camel's back in Trump's just outrageous, malevolent behavior.
We can only hope.
Yeah, certainly. I'm curious to see how, because Trump's already, like, tweeting and, you know, preparing his rebuttal about this.
Has he tweeted yet?
I don't know.
Yeah, let's find out if he tweeted. Let's also just cut ourselves. Let's get into cutting.
Lin-Manuel Miranda is moving to Puerto Rico for a while.
He's going to do Hamilton in Puerto Rico.
And the University of Puerto Rico's theater there. And they're basically offering tickets for $10.
Oh, wow.
So Hamilton the Musical will be raising funds to rebuild Puerto Rico.
Like, I need the money.
What a failure of our federal government, though. Like, I mean, obviously. Yeah. But what a further failure. I guess the arts are saving lives. I guess we're really
art
making a difference.
Art is always the way out, you know? And it's like, and, you know, some people feel like Hamilton has its issues and problems, but I, you know, Lin-Manuel Miranda can do no wrong by me. I wish that he would run for political office. His father was a politician. And we had an event where he was talking about his foundation that he had just started to rebuild Puerto Rico. And I asked him, I was like, don't you think that, you know, a crisis like this has an opportunity to unite people politically? And he said, I'm not running for political office, but as in my musical, Hamilton, we all want to be in the room where it happens. He's throwing his catchphrases and lines and stuff like that.
I want Mike Pence to be in the room when it happens.
What would you like to see happen?
Well, he went to see Hamilton, and they were like, it was a huge...
Yeah, they gave him a standing ovation. They were like, ladies and gentlemen, the best white vice president ever. Right? Isn't that what happened? No?
I feel like they said something and he walked out, or what happened?
One of the black actors made a speech before the musical started, and I think he walked out on it, or I'm not sure what happened, but it was controversial because it's like, actors shouldn't be getting involved in politics. And I'm like, the musical is called Hamilton. It's about politicians. Mm.
Did you see that website called Cockblocked? And so it was like, I don't know if you're on any of the social media apps like Grindr, but this guy saw this flaw in Grindr's system that allowed you, if you use this one number, like because they assign you a number, you could see who actually blocked you on Grindr.
Oh my God, Dad.
I checked it out and I looked, it was like a couple of it was friends, so I understand, you know, because like it's valuable real estate. Some of it was just like, you know, neighbors. Again, if you're not interested in me, valuable real estate. But then also too, it was like some guys who I'm just kind of like, I don't recognize you. I don't know who you are. Maybe they saw me. I don't, you know.
Maybe you reminded them of their,
you know. Man, I ran so fast to remove my face from Grindr.
Oh, yeah. I changed my profile to like a body pic, too.
I don't want people knowing that I blocked them. Mm-hmm.
I have no qualms about people knowing that I blocked them or what I look like on all those like gay geo networking apps.
It's easier though, because you want to kind of keep you want your border wall.
Well, I think it really depends.
you don't want your next door neighbor knowing when you're on.
But like, why not? Like, why? What's the problem with that? Like, why would that be so problematic?
Well, the other thing too is because they're also taking up valuable real estate.
But like,
because like you want the person
you only
next
get like
to
50 people or something.
And so if you're not sleeping with that person, get them out of there.
But
or
ideally,
if you respond to somebody, like you message somebody, because there's a guy I like who lives near. I message him, no response. So I'm just like, you know what? Valuable real estate. You're
man's
gone.
Rejection is God's protection. And if you can block somebody who you're not going to have sex with, you're doing them a favor by giving them space to find that person who is going to do the job that you're not willing to do.
Yeah. I want to give a shout out to all the people who came out for the March Against Violence on Saturday. It seems like a super impressive crowd. I think they're saying in Washington, D.C. that it looks like it was the biggest ever.
Next to
rally.
Trump's inauguration, right?
Right behind it.
No, but not fake news, but for real. People really just, they showed up. But, you know, it's great that people got out there in March, but I got to tell you, last week in the Chicago primary or the Illinois primary,
no one showed up to it.
Only 3% of millennials got out and voted. And it's like, you kids, it's like, we need your votes.
What was
we
the percentage of other demographics, though?
It was mostly people over the age of 45 that voted.
Maybe millennials aren't able to vote, though, because like they can't afford to take off from work. Or like that's
absentee
why
votes.
Absentee votes, sure, but like, can millennials really mitigate the technological challenges that inhibit them from finding
if
out
I
how
can
to
show my ass to a voting booth, chuckling 20 jobs... anybody can, you know?
No, I think that's a good point, like a good parallel to draw, though. Like, so many people came out against violence. So few people voted for our president. Mm-hmm. Look,
that's the only way we're going to make the change. You'll be able to vote in a Congress that's going to give universal health care. You're going to be able to vote in a Congress that's going to have smart gun control. Maybe you'll even vote in a Congress that'll get rid of student debt. You know, you never know.
I went and voted. I voted in support of marijuana.
And marijuana, too.
Medical marijuana, which I guess.
All marijuana, recreational.
I guess I may qualify.
Mandatory.
I may finally qualify for medical marijuana.
Oh, yeah? How's that?
Just like Tig Notaro, I have cancer. Oh, yay. No, but I'm serious.
Do we congratulate you?
Yeah, you can congratulate me.
cancer is hilarious.
Yeah.
Whole party for you. So tell the good folks at
home. So starting kind of right after the Austin International Drag Festival, I developed a what looked like a cigarette burn on my shoulder, and I was wearing a open dress at the drag festival. I thought maybe somebody burned me. I just was too drunk or happy or whatever to notice, and I was kept hoping this little welt on my shoulder would heal, and so months would pass by, and finally I'm just like, you know, March rolls around, and I'm just like, this is not good.
So you notice it around November, and now it's March, and you get
yeah. And so it kept growing inside. So now it's kind of like the size of a cigar burn. So, and I'm like, well, it was a cigarette first. Now it's a cigar. So, you know, went to the dermatologist. She sliced it up a little bit. And so tested positive for not melanoma, basal cell melanoma, but carcinoma, the capital C with cancer. So I've also been having problems with my shoulder where it feels like I injured it, but it didn't. The injury never took place at the gym. So
I remember you mentioning that, and
yeah,
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, so that was so it death. Sucks, and it's really terrifying. And oh, you know, the day Christ. I told Mark, he was like shaking like a leaf.
Oh my God, I was as the kids say, shooketh. But for real, I was just
you
like,
were shooketh.
I was literally shaking because I was just like, I don't want my baby to have to go through something like that.
Is it hard for you, Mark? Do you want me to get you some? Well, I got cut open.
Will you get some medical marijuana for me to deal with?
So I'm like, I turned to the cancer lady, and I'm like, do I qualify for medical marijuana? And she's like, no, because you're not going to be doing chemo. And I'm just like, I'm like, fuck you!
Yeah, but those cannabinoids have like cancer-fighting properties.
So I don't know. I'm going to try to, you know, be like, come on, I'm in a lot of pain, lady. You know, it's like, so anyways, tomorrow, folks, they're basically taking a melon ball scoop. I know I'm probably very... I had a couple of drinks.
This is all new information for me.
I know, and I didn't want to.
So, I didn't want to tell you beforehand because we don't want to be a bummer. But you know, we're taking.
But getting the reaction live is even better. Oh God!
So they're scooping out.
But fuck me. This is
gumball
your journey.
Size
biopsy
amount of. They already did the biopsy.
Sorry. Yeah. So just a lumpectomy.
Don't know how
or?
Deep the cancer goes. It might be very superficial. So they're just they take out a chunk to just make sure, and they kind of look around. I think they can look around and see, right?
She's gonna basically stick her finger in there and like spit in it. And, mm-hmm. You know, she's gonna finger my mm-hmm. shoulder.
Wait, is this happening at Jackhammer or no?
In an actual doctor's office.
Okay. So
at 1 o'clock tomorrow.
They're going to numb me all up and, you know, give me some painkillers. And then they're just going to melon scoop ball my shoulder. And I was like, is this going to disfigure me and stuff? And so she's like, oh, no, I'm really good at this. And you might, you know, it'll take some time for it to fill back up. The muscle tissue. He's pouring me more of a drink here. The muscle tissue will grow back, I guess. So ultimately, in like a year from now or 2 years from now, it'll be fine.
If you have a little dimple, we'll just pump you up with silicone. I know a girl on the south side, just silicone. And then
Monica Beverly Hills can do it.
We'll roll it out for you.
Jade Sotomayor. Half of the girls from RuPaul's Drag Race know how to do that. Mm-hmm. They do all their silicone on their faces.
Not all of them.
So yeah, and you know, I just want to say thanks. You know, I call.
Tell the listeners, it's been nice knowing them.
Well, I don't think so. The doctor says the prognosis is really great.
Yeah.
And my anxiety is that, you know, I am an American. I do have health care. But of course, the health care doesn't cover shit.
It's a huge deductible.
And so, you know, I might start. I'm going to see what the costs are. And I might do a GoFundMe to cover those costs because I don't know if I can afford them. So I'm going to have to maybe Craigslist.
Are you telling me
there's no Craigslist left? To do
no
sex
Craigslist.
Work.
R.I.P. Craigslist. R.I.P.
Like,
Miss Kisses.
What is an o-hole like me supposed to do? So
we're gonna fill that hole, Fausto.
You fill it with
we're
cancer.
Gonna fill. Wait.
Remove the cancer.
Oh no, I mean about the cancer. I don't know what to do with that. But we're gonna fill that hole.
So she's gonna. So basically, the procedure involves cutting up like a football size.
Wait,
piece of flesh,
football sized?
No, I mean like it's an oval.
Oh, like a football shaped?
Yeah, not an actual football.
I was like, that's your whole like shoulder,
half of my head. And then she scoops out the inside with this melon ball cutting instrument, and I'm like, literally, you could use it as a melon baller. And then they take it to the lab. There's
no honeydew, please.
They look at it to see if the exterior of it, I guess, has any cancer. And if not, then I have to go back to the surgeon and have
remove
them
the rest.
And then start digging until it's gone. So
when did you find out about this?
This is just a couple of weeks ago, so it's like...
Does your family know?
Yeah, I told all my family. And I've been calling my friends, and this is the sad thing, modern day we live in. Like, some people I just can't even get through. So they might be listening to this right now. They're like, why'd you call me? I'm like, I've been trying to call you and let you know about it, you know? And, you know, it's really emotionally difficult, you know? And I've been listening to Tig Notaro's...
Cancer.
I have cancer.
That impressed Louis C.K. so much that he showed her his dick.
Yeah, he just came immediately.
Is that really that what happened?
No.
Well,
probably.
Yeah, I don't know. He was very impressed by her cancer story, and it was really
produced
her
show.
That's why he produced her show.
He did produce her show, but also there may have been something else there too.
So, like,
damn,
her cancer is responsible for his dick exposure.
I don't know.
So.
You know, I don't know.
Cancer is just showing everyone your dick.
But she also was one of the people who was very behind the thing saying, you know what? Louis needs to talk about this. He's the one that needs to come forward and talk about it.
I just want to clarify, I'm not joking. This is not fake news or whatever.
No.
This is my body, and I'm really
honest. And I really was shook.
And, you know,
it's really fucking awful.
And the reason I'm sharing the story with you guys is because, you know, skin cancer is real, and it's something that can be easily detected. And if you have something that looks like a cigarette burn that doesn't heal, by all means, go see a dermatologist. If you don't have health care, because it's something that can save your life. My uncle right now, he didn't check his skin cancer, and he might actually, it spread to his lungs from his skin. And into his lymph nodes. So the prognosis with him is not good.
And this type of cancer, too, a lot of skin cancer develops when you're young. And Foster did grow up in Puerto Rico, where there's a lot of sun.
Yeah.
And honey, why does that come, honey?
Which is what I was going to say. Yeah. Like, I get everyone in my family in Florida makes fun of me for wearing sunblock all the time because I live in Chicago now. But I wear SPF 30 on my face and my body every day just as part of my routine.
The sunblock gets into my eyes, though. I'm like, when
really?
I start sweating
really?
Or rubbing
this
my eyes.
This is your cautionary tale now? Really? Jesus Christ. No, it's good.
It's good to wear sunblock.
It's good to wear sunblock. And also,
all those years of tanning salons, I regret.
Did you really do tanning salons?
I have done tanning salons. Yeah.
Oh my God.
But that was a long time ago. You know?
No, like, but I always, like, skin cancer runs in my family too. My mom has had multiple, like, spots removed and. God.
From here on out, it's all spray tan.
It's all spray tan.
For a while, one of my drag acts signature moves was being a tanorexic woman.
Like Tan Mom.
Tan Mom.
I'm the
before,
cool one.
I was Tan Mom before Tan Mom was Tan Mom.
So you were the original cool one.
I was the cool one. And I just thought, you know, a tanorexic woman with really white bleached hair was really funny.
And sexy.
And so, and so
it's
I
like
started.
Objectively sexy.
And I would put like fake tanning lotion on my skin. So for about like a summer, I was like looking really weird. Orange, you know, like Donald Trump. Just because I was so committed to my drag character. I wanted to look fucking weird. You know, so to me, I was like, I see these girls from RuPaul's Drag Race, and I'm just like, why are you trying to be this beautiful princess lady Barbie doll thing? You can be anything, you know? Push that envelope. And to me, like that one drag queen that has all the spots, I'm like, that's the best you can do? And the spots are black?
Wait, I thought that was just vitiligo. No.
Yeah, and I'm like, why not make the spots blue or green or pink or, you know?
Did you guys did
have
you watch
variety?
You watched some of RuPaul's Drag Race, right?
I did. Yeah.
Just a little, but
I watched the beginning. I watched the first 45 minutes. It was an hour and a half long.
It was long.
It was a long first episode, which 2006 Tim would have been like, "Cool, pass the duchy." But I was just so tired from work and, you know, my dogs were barking and my kava kicked in right around the midway point.
kava.
You guys do kava? No?
I used to do kava, but I feel like it's probably not very good for the liver, right?
I mean, is anything good for your liver, though? Like, name one thing good for your liver.
What is kava exactly?
It's a root.
Oh, yeah.
It's like an African root.
Reishi tea is good for your liver.
I mean, I'll drink it at work and things like that when I'm feeling very happy. Just super happy.
I used to say when I tried quitting smoking.
Oh, okay. It's way better than Chantix. But no, I was having the kava and I was just falling asleep during the commercials because I got so mad watching watching Shangela and
Trixie Mattel.
Shangela's
dream deferred.
I know.
What happens to a dream denied? Does it dry up like a raisin in the sun? Oh. So she can now do that play. Raisin in the sun.
Oh, Zobo. He done just come into his manhood.
I love Shangela, and I'm glad they didn't give her the award, the grand prize, because I want to see her back on All Stars 4.
But do they do that again? Do they let All Stars come back to All Stars?
Why not?
It's your show. You can do whatever
she wants.
No, but they...
She can do whatever she wants.
It happened so far, but they... True. For Shangi...
Anything's
possible.
Shangi, I love Shangi. You should come back on this podcast, girls. Like, you know what I really like?
I'll give you a star.
Vanessa Vanjie Matteo. I love her voice, man. She is the greatest.
I had a really hard time understanding
you
her.
You don't understand what Vanessa Vanjie Matteo's voice is like?
She's from Tampa, too. And
she's
from Puerto Rico. She's not from the island?
She's Puerto Rico, but she lives in Tampa.
Puerto
Rico,
she's from Tampa, yeah.
Okay.
Oh,
she's also
a
tampon.
What I don't get is, like, she walks into the workroom, goes, tens across the board. And then RuPaul, during the mini challenge, goes, like, tens across the board. And then for the promo, it's tens across the board.
So who done
it's
it
like
first?
Talk up. Well, it looks like Vanjie Matteo said it first, right? Because she's the one that came in through.
Vanjie!
She came in through the workroom, and that's what she said.
Idea mining.
I feel like that's a little clue that's saying she's coming back.
Mm. She don't already have hers, is RuPaul.
That sounds Mexican.
She-mail.
She does sound like the Machete actor.
Danny Trejo.
Danny Trejo in drag is Vanessa Vanjie
Matteo.
Have we
ever seen Danny Trejo in drag? Let's see.
I'm sure he has. And that's what to me, like, Danny Trejo is my drag inspiration.
That is the best drag inspiration as far as I'm concerned.
I just want to imagine him in drag, and then that's the drag queen I want to be. I just, like, I would love to be on RuPaul's Drag Race. I just don't know what they would do with me.
You know, every time I put on a wig, I just feel like my sisters. Like, I can't stop but, like, look at myself and think, I am my sister Mary. Like, I just look just like them. And then it scares me. Like, it just freaks me out too much.
I look a little bit like my sisters, too. And they resent it because I'm just so beautiful.
I know, right? And the other thing is, it's like the whole beard thing. It's like, well, you know what? Maybe you should wax.
I'll shave. I'll do anything. The thing, the last couple of gigs that I've gotten that were paid gigs in drag, the people were like, we want you to be a bearded beauty.
Here's Danny. He did a video, a commercial for dating. This is him.
He looks so good.
With a blonde wig.
He looks like Melissa Joan Hart, doesn't he?
A little bit, yeah. Put a little weight on.
Like Melissa and Joey Melissa Joan Hart, not Clarissa Melissa.
Machete, you are the... You are sachet, you chante, you stay. Mi amor.
Adios mio.
Honey. Roseanne is going to be on TV this week.
We're finally getting our favorite nut enthusiast / Republican former candidate for president.
You're a nut enthusiast.
I do like to crack them, yeah.
The other kind of nut.
Walnuts.
Every squirrel's got to get their nut.
A squirrel trying to bust a nut.
I saw some clips of it because I guess they put like a press kit and stuff, and we managed to get a hold of it. It doesn't look bad.
But it's worrisome
because of her Trump support.
And I think that's
but she's
probably
always been they've
not
always
be
been
so,
like socially conservative
show.
And
Has
trashy.
She?
Yeah, I mean,
well, I feel she was very liberal in the 80s.
You know who just came out as Republicans this week?
Who?
Is the creators of South Park.
What?
And I was like, what?
Trey Parker and Matt Stone? Mm-hmm. Wait, is it Trey?
Yeah. And I was like, they were my heroes going to the Oscars in drag.
But I think everyone...
bad drag. Dressed up as J-Lo.
I think everyone can say that, like, we would be fiscally conservative were we super wealthy. Because, no one wants to give up all their money to social services. Like, no one wants to do that. But that's the right thing to do.
Fiscally conservative, money conservative, or financially conservative is probably the better term to use. It's like all politicians have something they want to spend their money on.
Hookers.
And it's usually, with Donald Trump, it's hookers.
Yeah.
I have to say, Stormy Daniels is gorgeous. If I was a straight, big, giant orange Cheeto head,
a Chester Cheeto type.
I think Stormy Daniels, I would give up Melania for her, She's much more interesting and much more Don, she should have married Donald Trump.
Is it Stephanie Clifford with an I or a Y? Because I kind of feel
just like Clifford,
it's with an
like
I.
The big red dog.
Mm. Yeah, the big like orange dog.
Do you remember the girl?
Yeah, Emily. What was her last name? Emily.
I don't know. Emily Olivia, Clifford.
Emily Oliver.
Yeah, and little girl. She had this giant really? Dog. Which I always thought that Clifford, the big red dog, was like a.
It's a metaphor for her being a lesbian, right?
Or her menstrual cycle.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I didn't even realize that. Like, the dog represents her becoming her burgeoning womanhood. Burgeon womanhood.
And it was the symbol in the room that needed to be talked about.
That's another reboot that needs to happen. So we're going to get Clifford. We're going to get Roseanne. We're going to get Murphy Brown.
Marmaduke.
We need another reboot of The Golden Girls starring...
drag queens.
Jane Fonda, Lily Tomlin. Who else would you fantasy cast in your that's Golden kind Girls
of,
reboot?
That's kind of right. Well, the, just re, just Sex and Grayson. The City.
Oh yeah, true.
And they're old Samantha's enough now.
Not doing it though.
But they're all old enough to do the Golden Girls now. So maybe they might not do the Sex and the City reboot, but just cast the same original cast of Sex and the City and doing the Golden Girls, and then you get the fan fiction theory that Sex and the City is just
the Golden Girls. Wow.
Yeah, and you can.
So wait, does that mean that Chris Noth would be Stan's Bornak? Is that like Mr. Big is Stan? Yeah. Oh, wow.
Don't you think Mark, actually, you've just met Mark.
I have. Hello, Mark. It's good to meet you.
Hi, Time Warner.
Time Warner.
I love that your name is the same name as a heartless Middletime Media Corporation.
You know, my parents actually named me after Timothy in the Bible. Everyone in my family is named after someone from the Bible. So you got
really?
Sarah, Mary, Nathan, Nehemiah, and Timothy.
And Nehemiah?
Yeah, I've got a Nehemiah.
What do you call him for short?
I call him Nehemiah. My sisters call him Rudy because he used to run around the house naked a lot when he was a kid. So they called him Nudie Rudy. So it was just Rudy.
Was he hung?
I don't remember. But he'll hate me for telling this. But he's the only one of my brothers who decided to become circumcised as an adult. So there are three, like, I have three brothers.
So you're bragging that you're uncircumcised.
I'm a big old uncut eggplant. Uncut Tim. That should be my new name. Uncut Tim. Tim Uncut.
Actually, Uncut Tim is a good, like, you know, drag name.
I was thinking 10 minutes
so
of
got,
10.
Oh, so he got, as an adult?
25. He was a virgin. No, he didn't. And he'll never, to this day, be able to say why. Like, me and my other brother, Nathan, are always... pounding him for questions like, why'd you do it? What led you to it? Because there's a lot of things that can lead a guy to decide to become circumcised.
I know what, we had a guy on the podcast who got circumcised as an adult, and he said it was because like it was kind of painful for
him.
Yeah,
there's phimosis. Sometimes the foreskin is super tight and it's unable to retract all the way, and that's called phimosis. And it's just like, it hurts. Like, I've had times like when you have like a UTI or anything, and that's the other thing that uncut men get more often than non-cut men. Cut men?
Intact.
No, that's cut. The thing that bothers me about being uncircumcised is that I am an un-something when I, in fact, was just born, you know?
Like, you're normal.
No one did anything to me. I just am.
Yeah.
But I'm still un-something, which is weird because it's not an elective surgery.
You also probably resent being called cisgendered.
So you probably...
I am toad cis. Cis for days.
So he won't tell you why he did it?
No, he just... I don't think there is a quantifiable reason. I think he just aesthetically decided... I don't like the way this looks. Mm-hmm. I want to
Some people
be cut.
Get weirded out by uncut penis. Because, you know, sometimes, you know, there's a lot of extra foreskin on some of them. Some of there's, like, not very much extra foreskin at all. It doesn't mean anything. Another way, you're like, what kind of weird snuffleupagus thing is that?
I mean, look, everyone's penis looks different, at least as far as I've seen so far.
Yeah.
And I hope that my brother is no exception to that. We may never know.
Well, chances are your brother's penis probably looks a lot
somewhat
like your penis.
Like mine, yeah. Yeah, you know? I would hope so.
You know, you'd think
for him.
Well, Mr. Snuffleupagus, there's some fan fiction theories that he was like Clifford the Big Red Dog for Emily. He was like a sexual metaphor for Big Bird's latent homosexuality.
Wait a minute.
Emily was fucking the dog?
No, the dog
was
a
her sexuality.
Oh, her period, right?
Yeah, her womanhood.
It just grew. No, her womanhood, it just grew and grew and grew. Which I guess would probably lead me to
And Big Bird, like, you know, Big Bird's gay. Is male. and he's a golden condor. Is the type of species of bird that he is.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm glad that you're just, you know this.
We actually did a really great podcast with
a real deep dive into
this guy who wrote a book about street gang. Mm-hmm. I actually have friends who have actually worked as puppeteers on Sesame Street.
Were any of them praying on
Author Week and replay some of the best.
He's one of the greatest interviews. Because we talked about Bert and Ernie's homosexuality with somebody who really gets it, you know?
And he just said they were friends.
They're just friends. Well, yeah, like they're clearly just friends.
Bert and Ernie are based
faggy
on
friends.
Laurel and Hardy. They were based on Laurel and Hardy. And Laurel and Hardy used homosexuality as humor. The fact that there were two single men living together, and that was a trope from vaudeville. Mm-hmm. So Bert and Ernie indirectly is a gay.
And if you watch the Muppets Christmas special, and I think you can see it on YouTube, right? Is that where I found it? And I hadn't seen it in years. There's a lot of gay references between Bert and Ernie on the Christmas special.
Doctor,
what is it? What?
Lime in the coconut. Isn't that
you put the lime in the coconut and drink it all up.
Right, that's a Muppets thing, right? Or Sesame Street is the Muppets. They're all the same, right?
It's all
a Jim Henson umbrella.
But Jim Henson wanted the Sesame Street to belong to PBS, and he wanted the Muppets to be bought by a Heartless Disney corporation, and who would put money into it.
And, you know, and they've done a pretty good job. I was so bummed out that the Muppets TV show didn't do well.
Mm.
And hopefully, you know, and in this kind of ironic world, I'm sure Roseanne, I'm going to say it here, that show's going to be a huge hit.
You think?
Yeah.
But what's going to happen to the rest of ABC's lineup? Like, they have so many family sitcoms right now. Like, it's just family sitcoms. They've got Modern Family, American Housewife, Roseanne. Like, that's three of the same stories. Yeah. Yeah. All right. You know? There you go. See? So what's going to happen to the ones that you already don't watch? Like, Roseanne hasn't even come out yet.
But, all of us and the audience that's listening to this, you know, there's a certain few people I was like, you should do a podcast on more TV shows. And I'm like, but our audience doesn't watch television shows.
I watch TV like it's my, I mean, I think what I was raised by the television. Yeah. I have more affection
now,
for the TV
today,
than I do my own family.
Do you watch more television now today than you did back then?
Yeah, more than ever. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
What shows are you watching?
I mean, what shows am I not watching? I like to watch Little Women LA because those little tiny people are hilarious to watch. Like, they bring the drama.
You know, we were at DragCon and like six of them started walking down
the
hallway.
They are famous.
And they're like drag queens from RuPaul's Drag Race. They
were on RuPaul's Drag Race.
Yeah. And they get booked into bars and people stand in line to get an autograph with them.
Yeah. They're celebrities in their own right. But it's great because back in the day, those people could only get jobs as stand-ins for child actors because they fit the same height. Mm.
Well, a lot of the little actors, Billy Barty, he was extremely famous, but there were a lot of them were extras in like Star Wars or
science fiction, which I think represented the Viet Cong. Like, I'm pretty sure that the Ewoks were supposed to be a metaphor for the Viet Cong.
It was. Yeah.
Was it?
Yeah. Okay. George Lucas had some nuance.
Hey, Tim, I want to thank you for coming on the podcast. We got to wrap things up here.
Tim Warner, you can check him out here in Chicago at Burke's Public House, where he hosts Trivia Night. And basically, it's like the trivia is just an excuse for you to do.
Yeah, we're just going to drink, and we're just geeks who drink, yeah.
And just say fucked up shit on the microphone. And
I mean, as much as I can get away with, yeah.
That is great. I really enjoyed talking to you, and you're so funny.
I really appreciate the opportunity to be out of my home on a Sunday night. Like, I'm usually just praying for peace.
I like getting out of the house, too. Nice. Tomorrow I get to go to see a doctor.
Yay, and surgery.
Holy shit, yeah.
Surgery. So,
wish me well, guys. And if I don't come back, you know what happened to me.
You were loved. You were loved just by me and by Tim. Who kind of, you know, like, you don't know
I feel
well,
a little
like
ambushed
them.
By this, yeah. But I'm going to do everything in my power to avenge your death, should it happen,
avenge
from cancer.
Me.
And by that, I mean, I'm going to personally kill,
cancer?
Cancer? I don't know.
I think that would be a good thing if you could
Maybe
do
Betsy
that.
DeVos?
Baby,
like, who is cancer?
You're going to be all right.
You're going to be fine.
You're going to be fine.
Everything's going to be fine.
Part of me, it's like, I've been kind of, I don't know if people have been noticing that I'm kind of not been my full 100% Fausto self. And part of it is like, I just, you know, it just weighs on you and I just want to get it over and done with. And hopefully this will be the only surgery that I have to get done. She really doesn't know. She doesn't like that it's, there's injury in my shoulder, that there's pain, 'cause you're not supposed to have pain. And so hopefully it's not that deep, but we'll see. We'll know.
But you're going to get a lot of drugs to mitigate
they
that pain.
They don't. She was like, extra strength Tylenol. And I'm like, you monster.
Like, the least you could do is get me hooked on opioids.
I was like, give me some hot, what is that, Rush Limbaugh?
Get me high and constipated. That's what I want.
Can I be a right-wing radio host and get the cleaning lady to buy me, Oxycontin, like Rush Limbaugh did? That's, you know, that's what, how he got his,
yeah, she was a real feminazi.
Yeah. So, oh, hey guys, if you want to get entertained, go check out RuPaul and Todd Hall's new video, Damn Beats.
Oh, it's so awesome.
There are no beats like the beat. What is it? They don't dance like they used to. They don't make beats.
They don't make them beats like they used to.
They don't. They don't get the life like they used to.
And that's kind of what we say about Lady Bunny. Every time we talk to Lady Bunny, she's always like, you know,
DJs today, they just don't play the music like they used to.
The DJs, you know, you can.
It's true.
You can get a diva like Jennifer Hudson. She's just performed so well, but she doesn't hold a candle to, you know, someone like Donna Summer.
Yeah, Sylvester, everyone.
Sylvester, yeah.
Look it up. Every time I go to the jacket, I'm like, can you please play some Sylvester? And they're like,
let me feel my body real. Oh, you got it.
You make me feel.
Go higher. Higher.
No.
The sing, higher you sing.
Do I need to grab your balls?
Oh, enjoy those high notes while you still got them.
I got them. I studied these notes.
Years of pain and suffering, and because I don't smoke.
Did someone step on my throat?
It got my voice sounded like Vanessa Vanjie Mateo.
You really can just twist the nuts, though. That's an effective technique. That's why they castrated boys. It's a thing. Castrados.
Yeah, just, you know, pad, don't tuck. That's all I got to say. Remember me as a peacemaker.
I want to remind folks we can't do this podcast without your support. So if you're not a Plus member yet, sign up today at feastoffun.com/plus because your contribution to this show is what makes this show happen. Maybe you'd like to just make a one-time donation. You can do that at feastoffun.com/donate. Send a little message. Say, hey, Frosto, hope you don't die from cancer. Here's a little something to brighten your day.
I'm just like, you know, if you got any money, because this cancer treatment is going to cost a lot of money. So send it to me. Otherwise, you know, I'll get on Craigslist and, oh, shit.
No, you can do it under the for sale, though. You can still put it under for sale. You just have to list your body as a piece of furniture.
Oh.
That's what I found. I am just a side table or a coffee table. Put your feet on me.
I'll sell the actual cancer nugget they're pulling out.
You know, you actually can't. So my brother, who was circumcised, you can't keep pieces that they cut off of you. I was like, Nima, did you get to keep your foreskin at least for a ring? And he was like, nope.
I'm just gonna punch the doctor and steal it.
My friend Josh, he has his foreskin from when he was a baby in his baby book.
That is so hot.
It is so.
I mean, weird. That is so weird and hot.
Just lick it.
I bet you could rub that into your hole to make it heal.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, everyone.
We'll be right back.